So this coming week we have the Yahrzeit, a very well-known, a very famous tzaddik, the Bnei Yisachar, Zechus Yagen Aleinu. Bnei Yisachar was Yoinig Torahs from all the tzaddikim of his time, by the name of Elimelech, and afterwards from the Chayza from Lublin, and the Apta Rav. And at a young age, he began his own court. And he was a Rav in many cities. And he's most famous for being Rav in the city of Dinov. So he's called the Dinov Rav. He died at a very young age, the age of 58. And the Rav Shitzer, who was a very close Yadid of the Bnei Yisachar, he admonished him for being makabel the Rabbanus at an early age. Because he already knew Baruch HaKadosh how many years he would be a Rebbe. And there's a story which goes along with that. And he died at a young age, 58. And he wrote many Sfarim in his lifetime. He felt that the Inyan of Ksiva, of his Chiddushei Torah, was a very important part of being in this world. And his great descendant, the Klausenberger Rebbe, is Chus Yagen Aleinu, the one of recent times. He used to say, and he used to marvel how it was possible that he can write so many Sfarim after having passed away at such a young age, the age of 58. But they have the Messiah that he did what was called the Hashba'as HaKulmas, which means that he was able to write, he would give an oath to the pen, and he was able to write very, very quickly, at super speed, so that he would be able to write over all of his Chiddushei Torah. In fact, he would write throughout the day, at times on Friday, he had a special inyan to write before Shabbos, and he would write, and he would write, and he would write. And he would stop when his wife would say, she would say, you know, Tzvi, you know, they're ready, the seamstress has already put down her needle, and the builder has put down his hammer. So those were like her code words. And when he heard that, it was like right before Shabbos, he would put down his pen, but he would like be nichnas into Shabbos through this avoida which he had, which he was very makusha to, which is inyan of ksiva. He was one of these geniuses. I don't like to refer to tzaddikim as geniuses because it takes away from their accomplishments and what they were able to be zeichet to in the realm of Kedusha. But he had a special gift, min hashamayim, that he was able to do two things at once. Like they say about Rav Chaim Oizer, that he was able to write two tshuvas at the same time with both hands and maintain a conversation with the person across from him. So the Bnei Yisachar had that same gift that people would come into him, and he would schmooze with them, and he was a Rebbe, and they would come, and they would tell their tzaris over to him, and he spent a lot of time dealing with people, and his house was always open, and Sebrachana people would come and pour out their hearts to him, and he would be holding cup in everything which people would tell him, and at the same time he would be writing his Chiddushei Torah. In fact, one person once came to him and with a little bit of an audacity, and they said, how could you remember what I'm telling you if you're writing while we're talking? He says, not only can I tell you what you told me now, I could tell you what you told me 10 years ago when we sat here together. There was actually one lady after the Petir of the Bnei Yisachar. So she came, there's different girsos, whether she went to the Kosovo Rebbe afterwards, or she went to the Bnei Yisachar's son, who was also a very great tzaddik of David Dinover. And she came, and she was pouring out her heart to the Rebbe. And either it was the Dinover Rebbe, we'll just say the Dinover Rebbe, or David Dinover. So he was listening to the tzaddis of this broken lady. And she went something like this. She said, she says, you're not like the Rebbe before. You're not like your father. What do you mean? So he said, everything which I said to your father, he would write it down and put it in his pinkas. So he would always remember everything I told him. That's, it gave off the impression that he was writing down what people were telling him. But he had a way of giving his full attention to the people who came in, and at the same time being able to carry on his avodah, which he felt, which was so makusha to him, which is the ending of these writings of his Torah, which the tzaddikim who always acclaimed the Torahs of the Bnei Yisrael. They're very original, they're very sweet, and anybody who's learned the Sefer Bnei Yisrael knows the Siyata Deshmaya which he had to pluck these Torahs min Hashamayim. There's a special deliciousness in the style of writing, also adds to it. It says that the Divrei Chaim, who was not a contemporary of the Bnei Yisrael, but he lived shortly after him, he would only be nichnas into Tkiyas Shofar after having learned the Sefer Bnei Yisrael. In fact, there was once a Talmud who had peeked into the room of the Bnei Yisrael to see what was his avodah, what was he learning before Tkiyas Shofar, and they saw that he was learning the Sefer Bnei Yisrael. And he was like, you know, he didn't say it right away, but he didn't felt that it was right that he should learn like a contemporary Sefer, Bnei Yisrael, before such a time like Tkiyas Shofar. So later on, the Bnei Yisrael Baruch Kotchai, the Divrei Chaim Baruch Kotchai, that he knew that a Talmud was looking, and he had tainis about the Bnei Yisrael, and he made a comment like, anybody who knows the Avodah before Tkiyas Shofar knows that you can only learn a Sefer which is written Baruch HaKadosh, and the Bnei Yisrael was written Baruch HaKadosh. A special stamp on the Sefer of the Bnei Yisrael, that although he was a contemporary, the Sefer Bnei Yisrael and all the other works of the Bnei Yisrael are considered to be real classics, real svarim in depth and in Avodas Hashem and Chassidus and at times open Kabbalah. In his Beis Medrash every day, he had a Kabbalah sheet which he gave to about 80 to 100 Bali Madrega in Kabbalah. This is the cheder of the Bnei Yisrael, which was a very heilig cheder. B'shem Shlaimai from Munkach, he told over to his grandson, to the Minchas Eluzer, that once when he was a youngster, a certain Ani came to the Bnei Yisrael, and he went into a special room, and he closed the door behind him, and for hours and hours he was miyachid himself with this Ani. And he was bending his ear towards the door to be able to listen to what was going on, the conversation. And he was bewildered why it is that the Rebbe would be spending so much time with an Ani privately in the room. And he heard, went through the cracks of the door, that he was allowed to hear, I guess, because you don't just hear from the cheder of the tzaddik. He was allowed to hear that the Ani told the Bnei Yisrael that I'm a Mashiach. And he didn't hear anything more than that. And before he walked into the room of the Bnei Yisrael, he noticed that this Ani, he hung up his coat in a certain spot in the room. So he went to go look inside the coat, what was in the coat. So he found in the coat that there was a shofar there and also a notebook. And he held it in his hand. He was so surprised to have found it. And as quickly the Ani came out of the room and he had to go. But he didn't want to give the Ani back these precious items. So the Ani, who was Mashiach, said to him, if you don't give it to me right away, you know that your life is in danger. Your life is in danger. So he handed it to him very quickly, and then the Ani quickly left. But who knows what the Sikha was between the Bnei Yisrael and with the Inyan of the Shofar and the whole coming, but these are the audiences. These are the tzaddikim who came to the Cheder of the Bnei Yisrael. When he was born as a ben zakunim to his parents, and they had lost children time and time again to certain tragedies which took place. And his mother was actually a niece of the Noam Elimelech. So she told her husband, go to the fetter, go to Uncle Elimelech, and get a bracha. We should have a zera shel kayama. So the husband went to the Noam Elimelech. And he said, I'm giving you a bracha, you'll have a child. And I want you that you should call the child's name after me. I want you to name him Elimelech. So at the age of 3 years old, they took the Bnei Yisrael to the Naim Elimelech for his upsharing. And he didn't really know the Naim Elimelech much after that. The Naim Elimelech passed away when the Bnei Yisrael was 4 years old. But the Bnei Yisrael says that I remember so well my time with Uncle Elimelech that I can even count the creases on his forehead when he was holding me in his arms. I still remember how many creases he had. So he said, when he came for the upsharing, so the name Elimelech says, what was his name again? So she said, oh, Tzvi Elimelech. Tzvili Melech. I told you to call him Ali Melech. So we figured we'd add a name. It was nice. Tzvili Melech sounds better than Ali Melech. So he says, it's a shame you did that. Because had you named him just Ali Melech, he would have been Melech. But now that you called him Tzvili Melech, he's not going to be Melech anymore. What that meant was, had he named him Ali Melech, he would have been as great as Ali Melech, of Zanoim Ali Melech. But because you called him Tzvi Ali Melech, so he was only half as great as Zanoim Ali Melech. He didn't listen to the mitzvah of the tzaddik that he should call him exactly the name Ali Melech. The Belzer Rav, the Sar Shalom, was a contemporary of the Tzvi of the Bnei Sashar. And he had a minute to go to sleep very late at night, like many tzaddikim do. So he once remarked when he was going to bed, it was getting very late. He said he paused and he says, "Oh, now I can go to sleep now." He says because the Bnei Yisrael is waking up now, and there's a good shomer in the world, so I can go to sleep now because the Bnei Meli Malach is waking up now. I mean, the Bnei Yisrael is waking up now. When he would daven, he wouldn't daven with a Siddur Arizal, but he would daven with a Siddur Arizal open next to him. He didn't daven with the Kavanas. Oh, of course he knew all the Kavanas, but he wouldn't daven from the Siddur itself. So somebody once asked him why he does that. So he explained based on a story which happened in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, and with this will be your Tziar story with the Baal Shem Tov also for tonight. He says there was once a Yid who lived in a city, and he couldn't pay the local pirates his rent. And the pirates killed this Yid and killed his wife. And the only one who remained was a young child. And the pirates took this child into his home and raised him on his own. So he grew up in the house of the pirates thinking it was a guy. So it was before Rosh Hashanah. And this young child noticed that there were streams of Yid in the streets who were going to this big temple, which he saw they were going to, the synagogue. So he asked the pirates, where are they going? So he said, they're going to the temple to go daven on Rosh Hashanah. There was another Yid there who was passing by and noticed the child. And he said to him, and by the way, I want to tell you, you're also a Jew. It's just that this pirates killed your parents, but you're really Jewish too. So in fact, he even took the child to the place where his parents had lived. And he went there, this young child. And of course, the pirates denied everything, and he says it wasn't true. It's not true. But the child was still felt that the pirates was lying to him and that this was really the MS. And he went back to the house of his parents, and he found there a sitter. And he didn't know exactly what this was, but he took the sefer with him. And before Yom Kippur, once again, there were streams of people of Yidden going to the Beis Knesset. And this time he joined with them, and he took the sitter with him, and he went into the shul. And he didn't know exactly what this prayer book was, but he asked a Yid who was there, you know, what is this? And he says, oh, this is a sitter which we daven from. And he says, if you opened up the sitter, and he saw that his mother's name was in the sitter, and underneath the mother's name was also this child's name was also in the sitter. And in that, and she wrote in that sitter the name of the child and the birthday of the child, and he said, this is you. So when he was in the shul, of course he was very much behislavis from seeing that the way they were davening. And so he opened up the sinner and he looked inside. He didn't know what an ice was. He couldn't make a difference between an aleph and a base. So he broke out in a cry and he turned his eyes to the heaven and he said, this is the sitter that my mother davened from. And if she was alive, she would know how to daven from it. But I don't know how to daven. So I'm asking you, Rabbanu Shel Olam, that you should daven for me. You should daven for me because I don't know how to daven. This is the maisa which happened in the times of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So the Bnei Yisrael said, Of course, the Baal Shem Tov remarked about this, that, you know, like many stories of the Baal Shem Tov, that this is what turned heaven open, heaven over, that year on Yom Kippur. This is what broke all the gates open, that Yom Kippur, the tefillah of this child. So the Bnei Yisachar said in his Anivas, he said, my Heilige Rebbes, they knew how to daven from such a siddur. But I don't know how to daven from such a siddur like this. So what do? I open up the siddur, I put it next to me, and I say, Rebbeinu Shalom, I don't know how to daven from the siddur, so you daven from the siddur for me. It was once the Chavraya of the Chayza from Lublin. They were sitting together in the home of the Chayza, and the Rav Shitzer was there, another great tzaddikim. And in the meantime, there was another tzaddik who walked into the room. And the Chavraya had tainas on this tzaddik. I don't know exactly why. Maybe he didn't tell me what the tainas were. And when this tzaddik walked into the room, the whole Chavraya got up and he left. Everybody got up and left, except for the Bnei Yisachar. Now, of course, he was very embarrassed. And the Bnei Yisachar sat with him and he was mechazik him. So afterwards, the Rav Shitzer asked the Bnei Yisachar, and they were very close yididim, the Rav Shitzer and the Bnei Yisachar. He says, why did you stay? Everybody left, why did you stay? And this is what he said to him. Bnei Yisachar said, because I reasoned like this. When Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to go ahead and to shecht Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, so Kadosh Baruch Hu himself came and told him to do so. Yet, after he was already on the Mizbeach, and it was time to take Yitzchak off of the Mizbeach, so Hashem sent a Malach to tell him to take him off. So Bnei Yisachar said, this is what I ask myself. If it was good enough to send a Malach to tell Avraham Avinu to take Yitzchak off of the Mizbeach, why didn't he send a Malach the first time to tell him to shecht him? So he said, Mikan, what we see from here, that when it's Nageya Hadavar Lishchait Yehudi, when it comes to a matter of shechting a Yid, even if you hear from a Malach, it's Asr to shecht him. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu could be Mitzaveh a Jew to shecht another Jew. He says, what can I do? I didn't hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shecht the seer. So I didn't get up to leave. So the godless and the sensitivity of the Bnei Yisachar, the proper harach of every single Jew, that although he was a Yid who was mamash kol kula mashamayim, was a person who understood the tzavrachad yidin and what it means, binadun l'chaveir and avas Yisrael. So as God said, it's this coming week. Should be made to Yeshua's Chosu Yogan and Valko Yisrael.
Amen.